Thank you. We'll now have our processional hymn number 236. We thank you now, all our God, number 236. Please be seated. I want to welcome everyone to the service of worship today, and a special welcome to the family and friends of Sarah and Peter Freiters, as their daughter Madison Elizabeth is coming forward for baptism today. So please welcome them and their extended family warmly after the service. And she's smiling, so that's good. Next Sunday is Applebee's 195th anniversary. Like, isn't that amazing? You know, think about that for a moment. 195. To mark, yeah, round of applause, absolutely. To mark the occasion, I'm doing a pulpit exchange with the Reverend Jane Wiley, who is a very good friend of Margot and mine. Please welcome her warmly next week as I head to First Pilgrim United Church in Hamilton and preach there. There's lots of things. It's also Sundries Sunday, so please look in the bulletin for suggestions of what you can bring to help the women's emergency shelter. And this fulfills part of our mission statement, walking with Jesus. We help to seek justice and resist evil, and we welcome the stranger. Please notice there's lots of announcements in the bulletin, especially the ones I've put in. On November 3rd, we're doing something a little different this year. It's closest to All Saints Day, which is the first, and we will be lighting, there'll be a time during the pastoral prayer to light a candle in memory of a loved one. So please remember that. We're also looking for people with military connections to help with the Remembrance Day service on Sunday the 10th. So if you or anyone else would like to help out, please let me know. You've also seen those signs for Applebee's Future on the doors coming into the church. If you're coming on November 9th, and please set that day aside, it's very important for us, please sign the Applebee's Future workshop on my door. And there's also an e-blast. Don't forget the next Saturday morning. So you've been through your house and you went, oh my goodness, I forgot to take that to the rummage sale. Well, lo and behold, if it's electronic in nature, bring it to the e-waste Saturday morning from 9 till 4 o'clock in the parking lot. And so, and also the Defining Canada workshop book study starts on Thursday at 11:45. Bring your lunch. And I know we're all dying to hear about rummage sale, so I'll ask Ann to come forward. Nice and sparkly.
Yes. Okay. When you have lots to say, I need a big pencil. I've got lots of notes. Just let me put that there. Okay. We had a rummage sale yesterday. It was great. Yeah. It was more than great. It was fantastic. Capital letters. Although I did find two tops that no one wanted. Two tops. One says Ivanka Trump, and the other one says Donald.
Oh, don't leave them there.
I won't. I'm just gonna wear this. It's just easier to grab my things. Okay. As you can tell, I sing in the choir, but I don't play an instrument. I'm thinking of joining the bell choir and found my training bell. But if not the bells, then I have another instrument, thinking I might take up the bagpipes. So here's my training bagpipes. And now here's another training tool that I found.
I know who might want that.
It's not from the plumbing department. It's a training cribbage board.
Oh.
Okay, so, but we at Applebee need no training where rummage sales are concerned. We have exceptional sales. Check. We have exceptional donations. Check. We have exceptional volunteers, and we saw many new faces over the past few days lending a hand and having fun. And aren't the rummage sales a fun event? Yes, they are. The rummage sale team rocks, all caps. All of you contributed to our sale and worked so hard. I thank you for your time and energy. Many people on our team take on many tasks during the rummage season. I'd like to especially thank our team leaders and rummage rangers, June McGarry, Steve Hall, Kathy Hall, John Thrasher, Keith Pepper, Mabel Abra, Linda Anderson, Dan Perret, Jill Attic, Ann Culbert, Lutzky Walters, June Perret, Susan Harding-Cruz, my darling sister, Ian Dykstra, Joanne Lively, John Anderson, plus a couple of guys named Harry and Rosen. And if you want to know more about them, you can see me at coffee time. But three exceptional underlined caps people on our team deserve special thanks and appreciation. Joanne Anderson, my rummage partner. Jim Keenly Side for loading up the manse for months on end. And right at the back there, Ruth Fenn Phillips, who used her savvy social media skills to sell items that came in early to the manse, and she sold them on Facebook, and they generated sales over $2,800 alone. So, I'm going to use my pencil and I'm going to do some addition. Exceptional volunteers plus exceptional donations plus customers multiplied by the hours of fun divided by hours of work. And the answer that I get is an exceptional. I know, does anybody have a drum roll or a piano? Or just wait till you hear this number. You won't believe it. Begins. It's, anyway, it's $9,354. I did ask that we make this the best fall sale ever, and we did. So thank you very much.
Please, please, take these.
I will. Just give me a moment. Give me a moment to put my supplies away. My little bell.
Ding-a-ling.
Wow, that's amazing.
Through the lighting of the Christ candle, we recognize Jesus' presence in our midst. And through the lighting of the Christ candle, we open ourselves to the love and grace of God that we celebrate in worship.
Let us acknowledge that presence now in words. Reach out with uncertain hands. Raise your hungry voices. Cry out when you are lost. Let us rejoice and worship this holy, tender one. Let us pray. Beckoning God, you call your people from the north and the south, the east and the west. From the places we have wandered into a community of love and justice. End our wanderings here today. Open our eyes that we may recognize your presence among us and clothe ourselves in your mercy and grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our next hymn is from the soft-covered hymn book at the end of the pews, More Voices, number 37, Each Blade of Grass.
Make full the
Please be seated. I would ask Dan Perret, as the acting chairperson of the church board, to come forward for our baptism service.
Good morning, everybody. Alan, Sarah, and Peter Freikers have asked that their daughter be initiated into the holy body of Christ through baptism. Is it this one?
No, it's probably this one.
Okay. As a congregation, we celebrate the desire of these parents to welcome their child into the family of Jesus Christ. At this time, I will ask Nancy Sykes to come forward to introduce them to the congregation.
Good morning. I'm Nancy Sykes, and at this time, I would like to ask Peter and Sarah Freikers to please come forward with their daughter, Madison Elizabeth, who is to be baptized today. I would also ask the godparents, Stephen and Norma Sykes, to come forward with their daughter, another Sarah, as she will probably not be left behind. It is my pleasure to introduce the Freikers family to you and tell you a bit about them. Peter and Sarah were married in Appleby Chapel by the Reverend Tim Graham. This is Sarah's home church. She was baptized here, went to three-year-old nursery, Sunday school, and sang in the junior choir. It was a very accepting group, as, like me, she cannot sing a note. The Freikers live in the Aldershot area, but Sarah wanted Madison to be baptized in her church. Madison was born in July and is now 3 months old.
Hear this record of Jesus' radical concern for welcoming children. People were bringing little children to Jesus in order that he might bless them. And the disciples spoke sternly to them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will not enter it." And Jesus took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them.
When people became Christians in the early church, they were baptized as Jesus had been. That is, they went down under the water and came up again. This meant they were dying to their old way of life and being born into a new life. And Jesus made this possible by his own death and resurrection. Although in our tradition, people are seldom baptized by going down under the water, the meaning is the same. Baptism stands for the new life God gives us through Jesus. It proclaims that God has made us members of God's family. Today, God calls Madison Elizabeth Freikers into this inheritance. Since a child cannot understand what is being done, their parents and the church act on their behalf. The parents promise to bring the child up in the Christian faith, and we, the church, promise to help them. It is our hope and prayer that when Madison is old enough to understand, she will speak for herself and choose to be confirmed as one of Christ's people. Peter and Sarah, you have brought your daughter here for baptism. Do you believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, and who works in us and others by the Spirit, If so, answer, I do by the grace of God.
I do by the grace of God.
Will you follow in the way of Jesus Christ, resisting oppression and evil, seeking justice and witnessing to God's love for all of creation? If so, answer, I will, God being my helper.
I will, God being my helper.
Will you join with your brothers and sisters in this congregation to share in the life, work, and ministry of Jesus Christ in the world? If so, answer, I will, God being my helper.
I will, God being my helper.
Will you share your faith with Madison, growing with her in faith, hope, and love? And will you encourage your child when they are old enough to publicly profess for themselves and choose to be confirmed as one of Christ's people? If so, answer, I will, God be my helper.
I will, God be my helper.
We'd ask the congregation to stand as you are able and look in the bulletin or on the screen. Let us pledge to these persons our support and care.
As baptized and baptizing people, we commit ourselves to support and uphold you within the community of faith.
May God grant us all the grace to live out our baptism. Gracious and holy God, we thank you for the gift of life and within it the gift of water. Over its unshaped promise, your Spirit hovered at creation. By water comes the growth of the earth, and through water you led the children of Israel to freedom. And in the waters of the Jordan, your child Jesus was baptized. Now may your Spirit be upon us and what we do, that this water may be a sign for all of new life in Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Yeah, who's this stranger? It's okay, you can still see them. That's cool. Oh. What is the name of this child?
Madison. Elizabeth.
Madison Elizabeth, I baptize you in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. Oh, isn't that cool? That is so cool. So cool. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the head of the church and a light in our lives, I now welcome Madison Elizabeth Friders into this community of faith that has been a source of strength and nurture for many throughout their life, and to the Church of Jesus Christ that stretches all around the world. So no matter where Madison goes, she'll be able to find a home in the family of God.
As a church community, we know that the stories of the Bible, which includes stories about Jesus, the early church, and ancient Israel are important in our understanding of God's love for us and the world. We present this family story Bible to you that you may read it together as a way of introducing Madison to these wonderful stories.
Let us pray. Creator God, keep this child in your care as they grow in mind and body. Keep these parents in your love as they guide their child through their growing up years and relationship to you. Keep us also, that we may all be faithful to you. Amen. Please be seated.
Good morning, everyone. We're reading from Hosea chapter 11, verses 1 to 11, God's love for his rebellious people. It's in the Old Testament, page 981 to 982. A couple of difficult names in here, so we'll try. The Lord says, "When Israel was a child, I loved him and called him out of Egypt as my son. But the more I called to him, the more he turned away from me. The people sacrificed to Baal. They burned incense to idols. Yet I was the one who taught Israel to walk. I took my people up in my arms. But they did not acknowledge that I took care of them. I drew them to me with affection and love. I picked them up and held them to my cheek. I bent down to them and fed them. They refused to return to me, and so they must return to Egypt. And Azrael will rule them. War will sweep through their cities and break down the city gates. It will destroy my people because they do what they themselves think best. They insist on turning away from me. They will cry out because of the yoke that is on them, but no one will lift it from them. How can I give you up, Israel? How can I abandon you? Could I ever destroy you as I did Admah, or treat you as I did Zeboim? My heart will not let me do it. My love for you is too strong. I will not punish you in my anger. I will not destroy Israel again. For I am God and not a mere human being. I, the Holy One, am with you. I will not come to you in anger. My people will follow me when I roar like a lion at their enemies. They will hurry to me from the west. They will come from Egypt as swiftly as birds, and from Asriah like doves. I will bring them to their homes again. I, the Lord, have spoken. Thanks be to God."
Our gospel lesson today is from Luke chapter 12, beginning verse 13, the parable of the rich fool and trust in God. A man in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide with me the property our father left us." Jesus answered, "Friend, who gave me the right to judge or divide the property between the two of you?" And he went on to say to all of them, "Watch out and guard yourselves from every kind of greed, because your true life is not made up of all the things you own, no matter how rich you are." And then Jesus told them this parable. There once was a rich man who had land which bore good crops. He began to think to himself, "I don't have a place to keep all my crops. What can I do?" This is what I will do, he told himself. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, where I will store the grain and all my other goods. Then I will say to myself, lucky man, you have all the good things you need for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and enjoy yourself. But God said to him, you fool, this very night you will have to give up your life. Then who will get all these things you have kept for yourself? And Jesus concluded, this is how it is with those who pile up riches for themselves, but are not rich in God's sight. Then Jesus said to the disciples, and so I tell you, do not worry about the food you need to stay alive or about the clothes you need for your body. Life is much more important than food, and the body much more important than clothes. Look at the birds, the crows. They don't plant seeds or gather a harvest. They don't have storage rooms or barns, but God feeds them. You are worth so much more than the birds. Can any of you live a bit longer by worrying about it? If you can't manage even such a small thing, why worry about the other things? Look how the wildflowers grow. They don't work or make clothes for themselves, but I tell you that not even King Solomon, with all his wealth, had clothes as beautiful as one of these flowers. It is God who clothes the wild grass, grass that is here today and gone tomorrow, burned up in the oven. Won't he be all the more sure to clothe you? What little faith you have. So don't be all upset, always concerned about what you will eat and drink, for the pagans of this world are always concerned about these things. Your Father knows you need these things. Instead, be concerned with his kingdom, and he will provide you with these things. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father is pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell all your belongings and give the money to the poor. Provide for yourselves purses that don't wear out, and save your riches in heaven, where they will never decrease, because no thief can get at them, and no moth can destroy them, for your heart will always be where your riches are.
Even then I'll praise you, even then I'll sing.
Pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. For me, this passage of scripture from Hosea this morning is one of the most moving passages of the Bible. It speaks of God's overwhelming love for us. In the metaphor of a mother or father's love for their child. How can I give you up, Israel? How can I abandon you? My heart won't let me do it. My love for you is too strong. Aren't those amazing words? Read that passage with your name in the place of Israel. At times, it can bring tears to my eyes. So on the basis of that amazing love, we accept Madison into the church family and into the church of Jesus Christ that stretches all around the world, knowing that while we may falter, God will not. Now I have a question for you this morning. Has anyone here ever had money problems? Anybody? Anybody here ever worried about money? Occasionally, maybe? Thank you. It's nice to know I'm not alone. In our passage of scripture today, a brother comes and asks Jesus to intervene in a family squabble over an inheritance. Margot's a lawyer, and let me tell you, lots of families have squabbles over inheritance. Keeps them busy. You know what was not uncommon in Jesus' day was to ask a respected rabbi to intervene in these cases. Please notice that Jesus calls him a friend. He also refuses to get involved in the squabble, but rather uses it as an opportunity to teach people about the place of money and possessions in our lives. Now, have you ever noticed that when you start talking about money in the church, the room goes incredibly quiet? Yeah, exactly. Why is it we're so afraid to talk about money in the church? Are we afraid we'll spill over some of the emotional baggage of money discussions we've had at home and elsewhere? Now, out of curiosity, what do you think is the biggest topic that Jesus talked about? Thank you, I heard money. Any other guesses? You're very close. Money was the second most important thing Jesus talked about. Do you know what the first was? God's love, thank you. Anything else? The kingdom of God. Jesus talked about the kingdom of God more than anything else. Now, I think it's unfortunate he didn't give us a step-by-step description of what that kingdom was. He just kept telling stories and give us lots of hints of what it might look like. Here are some statistics. Out of 38 parables, 16 are about money and possessions. Almost half. There's 500 verses in the Bible that talk about prayer. Less than 500 about faith. Any guesses about how many about money? Over 2,000. Four times as many about money, I mean about faith or prayer. Wow. So why are we so afraid to talk about it? And why does it send shivers up the minister's spine when he finally gets brave enough to do it? Okay? Where your treasure is, your... Yeah. Your heart is. Another way of saying that is where your money is, your heart is. So I have a question for you this morning. Does anybody here remember how to write a check? Thank you. Does anybody still write checks? A few? Wow, I'm impressed. My son doesn't even know what a check is. Okay, we have e-transfers, pre-authorized debits. I write a lot fewer checks than I used to. But I remember one day a month, I used to sit down, get out my utility bill, my phone bill, my gas bill, my envelope for the church, and write out a check for each one of them. Can anybody remember doing that? You know? I don't do that anymore. All of those are automatic withdrawals. Now, Jesus tells us to guard against greed, that your true life is made up, is not made up of the things you own, no matter how rich you are. Your true life is not about stuff. You can collect it and collect it and collect it, and then what you do to it? Thank you. That's right. You bring it to the rummage sale. You clean out room in your house so you can do what? Buy some more stuff. Absolutely. What do you think your true life is about? Love. Thank you. Anything else? Giving. Thank you. Anything else? Family. Thank you. Anything else? Developing an inner life, a relationship with God, caring, sharing, getting involved in your community to build more caring communities, to see that our world reflects the kingdom of God, having a life with purpose and making a positive difference. Do you remember what the rich man did with his bumper crop? Thank you, stored it, put it in barns. What did he have to do first? Thank you, he had to tear down the old ones to make even bigger ones. Do you remember what he said to himself? Thank you, he can retire, yeah. Lucky man. You've got all the good things you need for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. Enjoy yourself. Sounds good. Please notice the man, rich man, never once thought of sharing his bumper crop or giving some to another person in need. He never said, God has richly blessed me. Now who can I help? Who can I bless? Do you remember what happened to him that night? Thank you. He died. Do you remember what the gospel said happened to his stuff? Who then will get all this stuff that you've kept for yourself? Have you ever had to clean out a house after a person has died? Yeah, what do you do with all the stuff? Donate it, thank you. Please notice, no mention of this man being doomed or going to hell. He's just asking, who then will get all your stuff? How important is it? Jesus is challenging listeners, especially the friend who asked Jesus to intervene in the inheritance squabble, to use some of his stuff, some of his blessings that God had given him, to help others in the community. How much is enough? Have you ever asked that question? How much is enough to make you feel secure? Can you ever totally protect yourself from the chaos of the world? What did it say in that account? Who by worrying about your life can live a little bit longer? Somewhere trust has to come in. William Barclay quotes a Romans proverbs that said, money was like seawater. The more a man drank, the thirstier he became. He went on to say, so long as a person's attitude is that of the rich fool, their desire will always be to get more and more and more, which is the reverse of the Christian way. Giving it away, giving up his life. How much is enough? Anybody here ever been at the Joseph Brand Hospital? Thank you. One day, I went for coffee on the way out, and I went out the old entranceway. Okay, got out the old entranceway, turned left, you follow the sidewalk around, and usually I follow the roadway next to the, retirement home. But this day, I noticed another path. There's some woods there, and I looked and said, oh, that'll get me pretty close to the parking garage, so why don't I go this way today? And along that path, there were pillars. And there was a plaque, and I read the plaque. And it talked about pillars of the community. And on those pillars was either the name of an individual or an organization and what they gave for the new wing of the hospital. Here was an example of people of means in this community that decided not to build bigger barns, but to give back and to help the community. Jesus would be pleased. Now, the proper use of material things is a major theme in the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts, which we believe is the same writer. Jesus was born of humble parents. Do you remember where? Stable, in a barn. Mary's Magnificat says, the poor will be filled with good things and the rich will be sent empty away. His inaugural sermon in his hometown, don't try this out because you might end up over the cliff, spoke of bringing good news to the poor and about how God used outsiders to bless community. Whoa, you don't say that to the home crowd. In his version of the Beatitudes, Luke says, blessed are the poor. Do you know what it says in Matthew? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Do you notice the difference? Poor, you're living on the street, poor in spirit. See, Matthew was trying to soften it up a little. It's almost as if Matthew knew how uncomfortable we would be talking about money. You see, Jesus told his followers that life was not just about amassing possessions, building bigger barns and houses, going on more cruises. And drats, I hate that because I love going on cruises. Anybody else like going on cruises here? Absolutely, thank you. But rather, strive towards the kingdom of God. Creating community where everyone is lifted up and everyone's needs are taken care of. Jesus says, wrestle with the difference between riches on earth and riches in heaven. So how do you get riches in heaven? Now you need to know in Luke, you know, he hasn't got, you know, a thing against rich people. Okay, you need to know that. He does not reject a person simply because of their wealth. Remember the story of Zacchaeus? You know? Was he rich or poor? He was very rich. You know, Jesus goes to his home and eats with them, much to the dismay of the crowd. What Jesus does reject is those who store up things only for themselves and forget their neighbor in need at their doorstep. The story of the rich man and Lazarus in Luke chapter 16. Do you want to grow in your love towards God? Do you want to know how to love God back? Then share of your abundance with those around you, the poor, and you will store up riches in heaven. So why would Jesus then make this shocking statement to his followers? I'm sure you heard it, and I'm sure you probably went, I don't want to hear that. Sell all your belongings and give your money to the who? The poor, thank you. Any idea why Jesus may have said that? I think part of it is to start to have a trust in God. We can't do it all on our own. But Jesus also knew, even in his day, people need money to go to the market to buy food. They would need money to get a pair of sandals. They would need money to go to the market and get a shirt. You know, so why did he tell them to sell everything they had? Another suggestion can be, Jesus wants people to know this is serious stuff he's talking about. That he's talking about heart issues. Where your treasure is, your heart is. Absolutely. Do you want to soften up your heart a little? How many people here would like to be more kind, more loving, more compassionate, more generous? Would you like to live in a close-knit community that takes care of one another and helps one another? Thank you. Then Jesus says, loosen your grip on your stuff. Because if you totally focus on your stuff, you will never be able to notice a person in need beside you and figure out how to help them. I'm glad Margot's not here today because I'm going to say, has anyone ever tried to find something in a woman's purse? Yeah. Did you have much luck, John? Declined to answer. You're a smart man. I gave the purse back to Margot and said, it's here somewhere. Could you get it for me, please? You know? I love what the author said about providing for yourselves purses that don't wear out. The more stuff you put in your purse, the heavier it becomes, the greater the chance it's going to wear out. The straps will break. Maybe it'll drag on the ground, you know, in the friction. You want your purse not to wear out? Lighten the load. Take some stuff out of it. Give away some of your possessions and your money to help others. In this passage of scripture today, Jesus is challenging his listeners to do serious heart work. That loving God back means taking the time to wrestle with what we give to God's work in the world when we figure out our budgets. One author said, "How much do you value gathering together each week in worship? Gathering together for prayer? How much value do you put on the outreach ministries that happen through this church? Young families through the Vacation Bible Camp and the Christmas Eve family service? What value do you put on visiting the sick and taking care of the lonely that happens through this church? What value do you put on end-of-life care for families and loved ones that happens through this community of faith? What value do you put on gathering with others to join in outreach ministries, having this place to focus on outreach ministries?" Now, loving God back doesn't mean only financially supporting your local church, but please do. It can also include other organizations in the community that helps others. It may be a charity that is close to your heart because you have been touched in some way by the cause that it represents. Heart and stroke, cancer, MS, addictions, the Women's Emergency Center, the list goes on. What we are asked to do is to look into these things. Then I would challenge you not just to write a check for the food bank, but actually go down to the food bank and see what happens there. And talk to some of the people. Maybe even find out if you can help in any way. Become personally involved. Loving God back means doing some serious heart work as we wrestle with the gifts of our time, our talent and financial resources to help build this kingdom of God that Jesus constantly talked about on earth as it is in heaven. To build that caring community that reflects God's love and care, especially for those at the margins. Jesus was constantly hanging out with people at the margins or at the bottom. And how do we take care of them? Thanks be to God. Amen. Our next hymn, and hopefully we're going to swing a little with this. It's number 575, "I'm Going to Live So God Can Use Me." 575. Please be seated. A couple people from the church, we went to a Reimagine conference in Hamilton. It was on Thursday afternoon, Friday and Saturday, and there was lots of clapping when we sang, so that was cool. It was nice to do it today. out of the storehouses of our things and our bank accounts and our thoughts on what we need. We pause to give so others might experience some of your blessings, O God. We also give so that we might have a house of worship that reminds us to look to you and to remember your will for the world. We'll now have our morning's offering.
When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. And in my hour of darkness, she is standing right in front of me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be.
Nice, thank you. These gifts, O God, in the name of the one who is our healer and our hope. May peace for the troubled, strength for the sick, hope for the despairing, and justice for the powerless flow from our gifts carefully and prayerfully used. Amen. Please be seated.
Let us pray. Gracious God, we have just come off Thanksgiving weekend where we pause to give thanks for our many blessings, thanks for family and friends, thanks for good places to live and work in, parks to walk in, pools to exercise in, libraries as centers to inspire learning and creativity. We live in a world, O God, full of things. Sometimes we celebrate what we have,
and at other times we merely look at what others have and we long for more. Help us to reshape our vision and understanding of what it means to be poor and what it means to be rich. Adjust our priorities that we might envision a world where we can support one another's needs rather than merely looking after our own. When governments and leaders display attitudes that ignore those in need of support and care in our communities, give us voices to speak out and the will to take action to help change public opinion. When those who have too much simply want more, give us the ability to encourage them to explore ways they might change their views and share what they have. We remember too well the saying of Mahatma Gandhi that there is enough in the world for human need, but not enough for human greed. Transform us from being sucked in by the advertising world of what a successful life is, a happy life is, to being one who wants to share and look for ways to build an inclusive community. The kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. Help us to join others in community projects, fairs, activities that bring people together and us to help highlight the needs of others in our community, such as affordable housing and what we can do to meet those needs. This we ask in Jesus' name, who has asked us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 559. Come, O Fount of Every Blessing, 559.
Gracious.
gracious God, you have asked us to open our hearts and our wallets, something we're often hesitant to do. In the coming week, O God, open our eyes to see where you are calling us to open our lives so that we might be both blessed and a blessing. Remind them that they are loved and give them